right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Geek Culture Congress. This is a very, very, very special edition. My name is Luis Speedy Jr. Gonzalez, and I'm here with my friend Joey Franchise, our nighttime jock here on Wild 94.1 here in Tampa, Florida. And we have the pleasure to have via telephone Mr. Jason Clark and Amy Simetz. They're coming out with a remake of the classic Pet Sematary nationwide April 5th, and they are playing the protagonists, two main protagonists. They're playing Lewis and Rachel Creed. Welcome to Geek Culture Congress, guys.
Hello, how are you?
How
are
you doing?
Amazing.
We're doing great.
Congress, and you discuss politics too.
Well, you know the culture is kind of a little bit of politics. You know, it's there's always controversy and debate, so that's why we called it that. You know, in the sci-fi world and of course the horror world. So how did you guys feel when they approached you and take up a Stephen King movie?
I was extremely excited. I mean, I read Stephen King when I was about eight. I was eight. My parents were just excited that I was reading. I did R.L. Stein, Christopher Pike, and then Stephen King. And then I also had seen the movie, Mary Lambert's movie, in 1989 when I was about eight as well. And so I was thrilled to jump on it. And I also was a big fan of Dennis and Kevin, the director of their prior film, Starry Eyes. So I was excited when they approached me about it.
That's up. And Jason and Amy, how you doing? It's Joey Franchise here.
Hey,
now,
Joey.
How's it going? Now, I'm a big fan of, you know, you guys and what you guys have done before. How is this and stepping into these roles different from a lot of things that you've done before? Like, what did you have to tap into as soon as you got on set for this one?
I mean, Lewis is a father. You know, he's one of the great fathers in American, you know, literature history. You know, there's a simplicity to him, like an everyman's father. If I could allow the audience to come with me, you know, that lost a cat first and then loses a daughter in our movie, you know, what would you do if you could bring them back? And I felt that was part of my job as well, to play Lewis, but allow people in there to become and not just sympathize, but put themselves in Lewis's shoes.
Very cool, very cool. So this is a new take, of course, on the original story, which was the original novel that came out in 1983, I believe. And then there was another movie that came out in 1989. Did you guys see that or catch up with it again to get inspiration? Or do you just goes out the window when you approach something new, when you do like a reboot or a retake of something?
I reread the book as an adult, you know, to because my memory of it was when I was a kid, and so my relationship to it was much different when I reread it. So I reread the book before we shot to get familiar with it. It was a much different experience as an adult as opposed to being an 8-year-old. But so we have that on set too. We have this great resource. There's so many good passages in the book that Stephen King wrote that are so helpful when you're trying to figure out a scene or motivation or what would your character be thinking, or even lines that we would work into the actual movie. We had the book at our fingertips.
And then you watch Mary Lambert.
And then I watched all of Mary Lambert's videos. Yeah, then I watched all of Mary Lambert's early Madonna videos to get inspiration. Mary Lambert directed the original Pet Sematary, and she also directed Like a Prayer.
Oh, awesome.
Just saying. She's kind of great.
I'd walk past the trailer, and Amy was getting pumped in there with Like a Prayer, just like, out the stereo.
Just raging into some Madonna.
That's great.
French pressing. French pressing. Listening to Like a Prayer.
The 80s are great. Yeah.
That's awesome. Now, when you guys, you know, looking at the trailer, this is a very, like, obviously it's a new age version of a classic.
Not new age in a spiritual way.
Yeah.
There are no crystals in this movie.
Yeah. Right, exactly. So, I mean, it's very dark. Just by it's chilling just looking at the trailer at times. Even when the kids are walking around with the masks, and even I can't even look at cats the same way. Were you guys, you know, was it easy to sleep at night at times on the set?
I mean,
did you find it hard at, maybe a bad dream here or there?
I mean, I've got two little boys, and the reality of, like, you know, the whole thing of losing your child, that really disturbed me. I found this a really rough shoot. It was hard work playing, you know, the stakes of where these characters are at and what goes on, and the whole idea of, you know, being so close to that idea of what would you do if you lost your child? It's very upsetting. Yeah. So I was very, you know, I wouldn't say spooked, but I was superstitious. I didn't want to overthink it or go into it too much. I was happy for it to end, you know, shooting anyway.
I bet. They changed it up a little bit for this movie, according to the trailer. Instead of the son dying, the daughter actually dies, and she's a little bit older than the son was in the original telling of the story. How did that feel? Of course, when you guys are more familiar with the source.
Right, it felt fantastic. You know, it was when you first pick up the script, you realize they're going to do something, you know, in this
Shake
version
it up.
To make it a movie.
Yeah.
And you're hoping they're going to do something that actually, you know, it organically comes from the book itself, the script. And then it's going to help make it a better movie rather than just a novel. And the fact that we had a 9-year-old girl who was a great actress to play against rather than, you know, a 3-year-old boy who would then have to bring in a doll because it's, you know, you can't do some of these things with a kid. It just needs much more emotional depth and reality and drama and stakes to the part. So I thought it was one of the reasons to do it and to go there.
And all of the changes, too. I mean, just because, I mean, you go to the...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The cinema to see a horror movie because you want to be scared and you want to be surprised. Mm-hmm. And the only way people are so familiar
and laugh at other people's pain.
And laugh at other people's pain. That's why I go. That's why I go to all movies. But you go to be surprised and you go for a cathartic experience. And the only way to do that, because people are so familiar with the book and the prior movie, even if they haven't even seen it, they know what happens. You have to make changes in order for there to be a dialogue with the audience and in order for it to be an experience with the audience.
That's awesome. And now, once again, we're here with Amy Simons and Jason Clark, this is Geek Culture Congress. And listen, guys, I mean, we live in the movie world. I mean, everybody, like, I can speak for myself. Like, I really love sequels and connected universes. And I see a lot of the comics do that. Also, Stephen King's books have been known to be kind of connected in the same, like, you know, within its own universe. Are there any type of Easter eggs that we can probably look out for in this one that's probably connected to It or something like that? I mean, just give me a call for something. You know what I mean?
Tell us a yes or no or maybe. How about that?
Any Easter eggs? No, man. This is not, you know, it's not.
It's not about a bunny.
There's no bunny in this movie, man. I looked hard, but I couldn't find a single bunny. It stands alone. I mean, you know, it's its own little. I mean, I guess they could make a sequel. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to be, roaming out there in some kind of undead world chasing down.
Yeah.
It's a standalone movie, and it works all the better for it.
Great, great, great. Amy, you are originally from Tampa.
I am.
Yes. So tell us a little bit about that. Do you still come through when you have some downtime? Or?
I do come to Tampa a lot. My mom still lives there.
Oh,
I love
great.
Everywhere. But she still lives there, so I go there a lot. I also come to Florida a lot because I write as well. I'm a writer-director as well. So I find that Florida's inspiring. You know, not because it's so beautiful, but because everyone's so crazy and
well-tanned.
And well-tanned. No, I'm saying that with love, that everyone in Florida is crazy. I happen to be one of those people. So when I'm writing, I find that it's really helpful to come home and, just people watch and experience the dark side of the United States.
And the Cuban sandwiches.
The Cuban sandwiches, of course.
Sandwiches, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. And the Cuban coffee.
And the Cuban coffee.
That stuff is strong, man.
Colada, colada.
It's really strong. Be warned.
And Mom's Venus. I always go to Mom's Venus.
Oh,
Mom's
hey. Venus. We're not going to talk about that. It's a family show.
Yeah, we're poolside in our, I'm in my Speedos.
There you go. Perfect, perfect.
Yeah, that's what we're doing this interview.
That's awesome. Now, guys. Now, you know, just looking at early reviews, it's been getting a lot of good, you know, reviews. Rotten Tomatoes, you know, is giving it right now above like 90%, I think. I just saw.
Man, that is huge.
That's big, huge, man.
Reviews. That's amazing.
Like, how does that make you feel? Do you guys really like rely on what the critics think, or you guys just really focus on, like, look, I know we did a good movie. I walked away feeling good after this. Like, this is going to be great just for fans of the book and just the horror movies in general.
I mean, it depends, film to film. For this one, absolutely. You know, I mean, it's, look, you know, with these genre films, you know in the audience whether it's working or not, and the moments that it are, it has to be visceral. It has to be, you know, a community experience. You can hear people are reacting or they're not, like good stand-up. So to then get a great critical response, to have made a great film, you know, in a time when I think horror films are being made by with some of the best filmmakers in the business, that it feels great. The fact that Stephen King gave it his big two thumbs up, it feels fantastic. It's, you know, it's not looked for, but you know what? Very proud of that. And the fact that it works. The audience is having a good time is like, yeah. Damn straight.
Of course you want people to like your work.
Yeah, and pass me the coconut. Well, yeah, I asked for that a while ago.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Pet Sematary Nationwide, April 5th. If you're enterprising, I believe you can get some tickets on April 4th, too, if you really, really want to see it before anybody else. Jason Clark, Amy Simits.
Simits,
yes.
Simits.
Damn
it.
We
know where you are. We know where we are.
Yeah, I know.
Once we finish tanning, we'll hide for you.
Go ahead and plug away anything else you guys got on the horizon.
Oh, I have a film coming out April 12th called Wild Nights with Emily.
Oh,
as well
great.
As Molly Shannon.
Wild Nights with Emily.
Yeah, it's a comedy about Emily Dickinson.
Interesting.
Sounds like a sleepover in Tampa.
It's a slumber party. Yeah.
Slumber party in Tampa.
My favorite stripper from Montana. Yeah.
any more Stranger Things, Amy?
I can't talk about that.
It's New Year. I was going to take a swing. I tried.
I got to throw a curveball right now at Jason, because listen, I know you've done like Terminator in the past, and you've kind of dove in that, you know, that realm of, you know, the sci-fi and action and things like that. Now with Marvel now picking up Fox and wanting to do X-Men, do you see yourself playing a possible X-Men or Fantastic Four character?
I've already sent Jackman a very threatening letter. He's a dumb dude. You didn't do it. I'm stepping in, and I'm gonna throw it down.
Yo, kill it, man. Yeah. We need you as Wolverine. That's what I was going to ask, man. You see yourself doing that?
Yeah.
All right,
my
guys.
Very long fingernails.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for your time, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Pet Sematary is in movie theaters April 5th. Go see it. Thank you, Jason Clark and Amy Simits. This is Joy Franchise and Louis Speedy Jr. Gonzalez signing off from Geek Culture Congress, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.